You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 3rd, 2020, a new national survey of registered voters shows Democrat challenger Joe Biden with an 11-point lead over President Trump. I need to break this down for you. This is a Monmouth University study and survey, and of course it was taken while we've had these protests and violent clashes underway. That 11-point lead over Trump came down to the issue of which one do you trust to do best in dealing with race relations in the nation. 11-point lead Biden has over Trump. Now, they did the same survey back in April. Biden had a 4-point lead. In May, he showed 9 points, and now 11 points. One-third of the voters questioned said that race relations will be a major factor in their vote for president this year. 17% saying it will be a minor factor, and nearly half of those surveyed said, not going to bother me one way or the other. So, does the poll have any validity? Still another poll, this one by Morning Consult, finds a large majority of American voters, including a large majority of Democrat supporters, do support the use of National Guard to address riots and protests tearing apart our cities. A smaller majority support bringing in the military. Numerous cities have had violent nights. Last night, fairly quiet, thank God. And really, thank God. For I know many people are praying for the peace to be restored and no more harm and hopefully no more property damage. But there's already been the damage, and there's already been harm. More than 60 officers with the New York City Police Department have been hospitalized since all this began. Chicago reporting about 120-plus, and other cities as well. In St. Louis, 4 were shot by assailants hiding in the dark. Those officers are going to survive. And, of course, in Las Vegas, we had an officer struck in the back of the head, and that last report, alive but in critical condition. And at least 4 black American men and 1 biracial woman have been killed in these riots. They've been the victim of the riots themselves. While folks are out there protesting and shouting for racial equity and end to police brutality, these 4 died. One of the first to die was a federal marshal. A black federal marshal. And one of the more recent, a retired police captain in St. Louis. 38 years serving his community as a police officer. Retires, and at age 77, he's helping a friend protect a pawn shop he owned. And somebody was intent on looting the pawn shop, and they shot and killed Dave Dorn. Minnesota newspaper listing 360 local businesses destroyed by the riots. 360. Pointing out they've been vandalized, looted, had doors, windows smashed, some reduced to rubble, according to the paper report. They had at least 66 destroyed by fire, others extensive water damage or severe fire damage. And they say we're going to continue to update it because I'm not sure we got all of them at this point. And it includes everything from the small businesses, the local ones. They were already suffering because of the coronavirus shutdown, to major retail chains, Target, and so forth. And it's still not a complete list. These are businesses along a 5-mile stretch of Lake Street in Minneapolis and a 1-mile stretch of University Avenue in St. Paul's Midway area. Also out of Minneapolis, the school board deciding to end its contract with the Minneapolis Police Department. They've been using Minneapolis police officers as resource officers to have them in the schools, kind of as a mentor and also available in case something went wrong in a hurry. And now they don't want them in there anymore. That is, again, making a decision, blaming all officers for what took place with one and the other three complicit in the death of George Floyd. Kids in those schools, are they going to be any safer because the officers are no longer going to be there? Minneapolis may have to deal with that down the road.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, with flashbang grenades going off and tear gas in the air, the President of the United States, a wannabe wartime president, had what he hoped was his MacArthur moment, his Patton promise. Calling himself our law and order president, he said he'll send active duty military troops into American states and cities to dominate, his words, dominate demonstrators in the wake of the police killing of George Floyd a week ago.
That is Anderson Cooper from the other night, and I want you to hear it again, just in case you had not heard it. He's upset that President Trump talks about dominating the streets. You need to dominate the streets when you've got riots going on. And, of course, they'd love to attack Trump for whatever reason. And he did say, yes, I'm ready to use the Insurrection Act and send military troops into each of these states if the governors do not step up and do the job. You cannot continue to let things go the way they are. Well, the message apparently has gotten through. They've gotten a little tougher. They've added more police force. Minneapolis, quiet again last night. New York was a lot quieter than it had been. Other places, they've put in effect curfews. And that seems to be the point now as to where the contention starts. When a protest is said and told the curfew's at 9 o'clock, you need to be off the streets by 9 o'clock. They really need to consider that 9 o'clock is the final time, but give them an 8 or 8:30 time to get off, because if you start trying to enforce it that time, it's always going to go past that. And once it gets dark, it is going to invite the thugs to come in and hijack the event, even if it's a peaceful event to that point. Oh, and that term thug, Anderson Cooper doesn't like, I guess, us calling them like that. And in fact, I'm talking about the arsonists and those terrorizing, not the peaceful protesting. Even if you're yelling slurs and giving the middle finger to police and everything else, you're quote, peaceful to that extent. You're not throwing rocks and bottles or firing at police. You're not looting. You're not setting fire. You're not vandalizing cars. You're still protected by your First Amendment. Those who go beyond that line, they are the thugs. And as President Trump said this morning, calling them lowlife and scum, I will second that as well. But Anderson Cooper of CNN and NN, like all the mainstream media, they want you to consider that if you're looking for a thug, look in the White House.
The president seems to think that dominating black people, dominating peaceful protesters is law and order. It's not. He calls them thugs. Who is the thug here? Hiding in a bunker? Hiding behind a suit? Who is the thug?
The president's not going to win one way or the other. But I'm not going to simply accept those kinds of attitudes and remarks from mainstream media when they are complicit in some of these acts and always trying to glorify it for their advantage. Believe me, they are. I told you in the last hour, and I'll remind you again, how CNN and the Washington Post, when that CNN reporter and photography crew the other day got arrested because apparently they did not follow an order by Minneapolis police to move from where they were. I don't know if that was the order given or how it went down. They didn't resist, but they were put in handcuffs, taken away. And at one point, the camera of the photographer, still rolling, was put down on the ground. And you can see the photographer standing, being handcuffed. And CNN copied Washington Post, repeating over and over, this is what it looked like from the view of George Floyd that fateful day. In other words, comparing the arrest of their news crew to the death of George Floyd. They have abused his death and tried to use it for their glory, is what it amounts to. And that's what's happening in the streets in many cases. Those out there in the streets, they're not looking for justice for George Floyd. They're looking at how I could get a free TV or a cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory or just how I could just go wild and burn everything and laugh with my friends later. And then you've got Chris Cuomo on CNN. He suggested last night that protesters don't have to be peaceful. Larry, you got to be making that up. Surely he didn't say that. No, that's exactly what he said. Let me let you hear a clip of it.
Now, too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Doesn't say anywhere that you have to be polite and peaceful, but the First Amendment is a guaranteed right for peaceful assembly. Maybe he doesn't know that. Oh, and he also added later, police are the ones required to be peaceful, to de-escalate, to remain calm. This from the same guy, Chris Cuomo, that's lashed out at people that made a remark about him that got him upset, calling him Fredo. You talk about going ballistic on them and calling them out, saying you're some fat slob or something. This guy, he says, police should be peaceful, de-escalate, and remain calm. Well, that's obviously what they want to do and try to do. They have to stand there with a shield or not a shield while folks are standing in front of them, giving them the fingers, spitting on them, and pretty much have to take some of it till things start being thrown. And some of the items thrown, bottles of urine, balloons filled with urine so they'll break apart when they hit, rocks, concrete pieces they pick up, bricks. And then when the police began to respond and to stop that action, then they are accused of being unlawful themselves and creating the problem. I want to hear Chris Cuomo again because there's something else I want you to listen to as we go through it again. When he's talking about the protest as a problem, the protests are not a problem. They're not a problem in my mind. I have no problem with them as long as they're peaceful and orderly, as, yes, they're supposed to be That's your First Amendment right. Your First Amendment right, as you know, doesn't give you the right to run into a crowded theater and yell fire any more than it does to stand on the street and pick up a rock and throw it at a police officer because I'm in the protest. I'm part of the protest, man. I can do that. Listen to Chris Cuomo.
Now, too many see the protest as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Chris Cuomo, the brother of New York Governor Cuomo, where they've had so much violence in his state, particularly New York City. President Trump had put out a statement on a tweet earlier. If you watch fake news, CNN, MSNBC, you would think that the killers, terrorists, arsonists, anarchists, thugs, hoodlums, looters, Antifa, and others would be the nicest, kindest, most people in the whole wide world. No, they are what they are. Very bad for our country. I'm distinguishing, as the president's distinguishing, between peaceful protest and the thugs, the anarchists, who are setting the fires, attacking police, often from the shadows if they can, and hijacking what would have been a peaceful protest. For the most part, last night, we had quiet across the nation. I said earlier, thank God, I'll repeat it again, thank God. And yes, there's a lot of prayer underway for our nation to come away with this without any more violence, anyone else being hurt. And yes, we need to deal with cases of police brutality, and we need to deal with cases where police, in particular white officers, are targeting black suspects or black people, period, without any reasonable cause. But if you were in law enforcement at any point, be you a black officer, white, yellow, whatever, you have seen enough that you know that I can't just wait for a crime to happen if I see something that might raise suspicion. I need to check it out. That doesn't mean, of course, you go overboard. But part of your job is not to simply respond, but to prevent. But here's Chris Cuomo saying, show me where it says protesters are supposed to be polite and peaceful. Police are the ones, he says, required to be peaceful, to de-escalate, to remain calm. Listen, for what they've been facing over some of these nights, they have been. I would dare many of those on the left and those in those crowds yelling and shouting at the police, I would dare them to stand in that line and see this crowd of people coming at you, and you have to hold the line. You can't do anything else. If they charge into you, then you'll deal with it. But you have to stand there. You have to listen to what they yell about you and your mother, your kids, make threats verbally to you, possibly, calling you every name possible. Even though you might be a black woman as a police officer, you have to stand there and take it. And they say they're doing all of it to bring about racial equality. When they lose sight of their message, or in fact abandon their message, what good is there? And where's the honor for the death of George Floyd and others in cases where police did not follow proper procedures? A New York Times magazine reporter is also wanting you to believe that all of this destroying property, that's not violence either. In other words, in her opinion, it's almost immoral to call protesters who become arsonists and thugs destroying, it's almost immoral to say that they are acting out violently.
I think, one, we need to be really careful with our language. Yes, it is disturbing to see property being destroyed. It is disturbing to see people taking property from stores. But these are things. And violence is when an agent of the state kneels on a man's neck until all of the life is leached out of his body. Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence. And to put those things, to use the exact same language to describe those two things, I think really It's not moral to do that.
That's a New York Times Magazine reporter, Nicole Hannah Jones. Some of what she said I will agree with. Destroying property, that can be replaced. I mean, we say that all the time, even after a hurricane or a tornado comes through or anything like that. Well, we lost the house, but by God, thank God, everybody's safe. We all came out of it alive. We can rebuild. We can regroup. But what she says is destroying property is not violence. Of course it's violence. If they showed up at her home and decided to, let's torch this home, let's show how we treat folks on both sides of the political spectrum, and they burned and torched her home, would that be violent? I would think it would be. But she says you have to choose your words carefully. She's a writer, of course. She knows what she's saying. I want you to hear another clip from her. I'll have it in the next segment. And I want you also to hear from someone else at CNN. Because, again, the lib media, doing everything it can to not call thugs what they are. I think you know and you accept protest are legal if they're quiet and peaceful as they should be. I don't mean quiet, but peaceful. But when they cross that line, that's where they become thugs, not just protesters. And sometimes innocent protesters are caught in the middle of something like that. We'll take a break. And when we come back, I want you to hear more from this New York Times Magazine reporter. Says, choose your words carefully. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is, my love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror, the destruction of innocent life, and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction, cooperation, not contempt, security, not anarchy.
And I keep hearing the mainstream media say, we need a president that will speak and not be inciting. That was exactly what we need to hear. If it had been delivered by Obama, those same words had been delivered by Obama, they'd be applauding it. But the mainstream media, that's another part of the enemy for Trump. He knows it, and it's the enemy for the rest of us. And back to that New York Times Magazine reporter, Nicole Hannah Jones, saying it's not moral to say destroying property is violence. That's not right. You destroy property, that's not violence. And in fact, she also then says, even if it's bad, it's probably deserved.
I think any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property. But these are not reasonable times. These are people who have protested against police violence again and again and again, year after year after year. And still we can have videos of law enforcement with witnesses nonchalantly taking the life of a man for the alleged crime of passing a fake $20 bill. So when we have people who say that people should respect the law, they're not respecting the law because the law is not respecting them. You can't say that regular citizens should play by all of the rules when agents of the state clearly are not.
There are times they are not playing by the rules, agents of the state, as she refers to them. Does that justify what you're doing? No. And then you got another CNN so-called journalist, Sarah Sidner, I think her name is. She was reporting from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she will basically, well, as you listen, I think she's on the very edge of basically encouraging, certainly championing and honoring the rioting. Listen.
I know people see violence and think that people are just taking advantage of the situation, and there may be some people who are. I don't know that every single person is doing this born out of pain, but I can tell you many people are. We've seen it. They don't know what to do with that emotion, so their response, especially young folks, is to lash out. And one of the young folks, we talked to him on your show. You had him on your show. A young man who is from Minneapolis who said, do you see all this damage here? You don't listen to us when we speak, so you listen to us now, don't you? So acting out gets attention. And they know that because the other way hasn't gotten them the attention. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't changed anything. So they're hoping this will.
Yeah. So we're going to give them a pass for acting out. Acting out is burning, looting, laughing about it. And she says that there may be some that shouldn't be on the street. They're not there for the right reason, but she knows what she's speaking. She knows. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by James Herson out of California and see what's happening on that shore. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest, an international business attorney, news analyst, often appearing on all the major networks, and always glad to have him join this program as well. James Herson, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, how are you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. So how is, you had a pretty quiet night, reference any violence last night in the L.A. area, did you not?
Relatively quiet compared to the couple of nights before. And I think it has a lot to do with the president sort of laying the gauntlet down and having that conversation with the governors and causing Gavin Newsom and particularly Mayor Garcetti of Los Angeles to do what was done in most major cities, and that is to let the police do their jobs, which they did not do. The idea of police standing idly by while property is burned, while inventory is stolen, and while innocent people are injured and beaten, in many cases killed, it's the scandal of the century. And I think as we look into it deeper, the important questions are going to be, you know, which politicians did this for some sort of devious purposes. And where did the money come from to organize this? Because this was not spontaneous. This was not organic. This was organized. Pallets of bricks miraculously showed up on street corners across the country, placed there exactly where these throngs of so-called protesters would appear.
Now, let's break that down. Let me break that down. Yeah, I agree with all those points. And of course, we are distinguishing between peaceful protesting and then when it becomes a riot and throwing stones, bricks, and so forth at police or shooting at them. And yet I'm looking at a piece I had before you joined us from CNN Sarah Sidner and also a New York Times Magazine reporter saying basically it's not moral to classify destroying property as a crime or as a threat that it's not that violent. In other words, they're looking for any way they can to excuse it and say, well, young people don't have any way to act out. They've seen nothing happen prior to this, so they act out. In other words, you got to accept it, Jim.
Yes, the professional liars in the establishment media moved from narrative to narrative. They couldn't make blaming it on white supremacist groups work because there was no evidence of that. They couldn't continue to classify this as a peaceful protest because it had been hijacked by criminality. And so they come up with this crazy notion that the destruction of innocent people's businesses, properties, that somehow that's not a crime. Well, the American people, and they know that this stuff is ridiculous. That's why Chris Cuomo now enjoys a 50% reduction in his audience. People are sick of the lies.
I hope so. I was running some quotes from him earlier. You're right, where he was saying, show me where they had protesters had to be peaceful. First Amendment. Look at the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, look at the tradition in Western civilization of law enforcement and justice. Look at the Bible. Look at thou shalt not steal. These are maxims of civilized society that go back thousands of years. And I'm sorry, just because it fits the political narrative, Chris Cuomo and company cannot change that. But what's really important is a lie that's being told about these organizations who now are getting mainstreamed. I mean, for the longest time, CNN tried to hold up Antifa as some sort of noble organization, and they're nothing of the kind, which is why the president is correct to move towards classifying them as a domestic terror group. And the same is true of Black Lives Matter. These organizations, they promote crime. They promote murder. They promote insurrection. They promote harming innocent people, which is why in the great city you reside in St. Louis, this innocent retired police officer, David Dorn, was murdered in cold blood by people who were taught that that was okay.
Yeah, they're robbing a pawn shop. They have a good reason. They're burglarizing. It's a time to riot and run free. By the way, your reference to Antifa being labeled domestic terrorists, I had Cully Stimson on earlier. From the Heritage Foundation, he says, really, it wouldn't change anything. There are plenty of laws there and so forth. So that won't really change anything in his opinion, you being an attorney and practicing before the Supreme Court. Do you think it would change anything? He doesn't see any value to it other than making us feel good.
I'll just tell you one quick reason why it's very important. And it's not just to make us feel good. It actually triggers the Patriot Act. It actually triggers the real use of FISA warrants. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. Rod Rosenstein's testifying about those today. Yeah,
I know. But these organizations use sophisticated encrypted technology to communicate with each other. That encryption needs to be broken, and the most sophisticated kinds of investigation has to be brought to bear, just like we do with terrorists, because their goal, just read Antifa literature, go to their website, and you'll find out they do not seek justice, peace, or peaceful expression. They seek the overthrow of the United States of America. They are a subversive group that is a domestic terror group, very dangerous. So it's amazing to me that a representative from the Heritage Foundation would actually make a statement like that. That is, it's just...
He had actually
basically
also...
false.
It actually also published some of those same remarks in the Daily Signal. You may want to take a look at it. I went over it a couple different ways with him, but he was standing by. Now, you also had this, and of course, all of this came about because of a true tragedy. A police officer out of control did not do what he should have, and there were many opportunities to stop that man from dying as he did. But we had that. Then we're into this situation now, and they're dismissing and ruining. I mean, there's no higher call at this point for honoring his death and what took place. It's just rip up everything you can. And now I see some of your Hollywood elite have signed a letter defunding all police departments. Defund all police departments. That's going to be great for our nation.
Well, this is what the modern-day Democrat Party stands for. They stand for defunding the police, which is Hollywood. But let's face it, these Hollywood liberals, they're uneducated, mindless dolts who think that they're going to go and you know, get props with their virtue signaling. How can a person with any common sense basically seek for the abolition of law enforcement? Of course, the Democrat Party, we've heard, they want to abolish ICE. So if you're going to abolish ICE, why not abolish all the police? And they want to abolish prisons. Because during the, I kind of vaguely remember this, it was called the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. During the lockdown, they were releasing tens of thousands of dangerous criminals into our society, some of whom are out there looting.
You know, one of your favorites, James Woods, and you might have seen his tweet on that. He said, Democrats were literally arresting Americans for opening their business, now silent as protesters burned them down. You were fined for worshiping in your church, but now cheered for marching and screaming crowds. Yeah, the social distancing, all that's, we're not concerned about that. We've got to be in the streets and rioting.
Yeah, it's understandable that many Americans are looking at this. And they saw blue state governors, Democrats, all across this country artificially extending the shutdown of the economy for political purposes. And now they saw blue state governors artificially holding back the police, allowing again innocent people, shop owners who had been beleaguered, to suffer. But for what? Is it really in the memory of George Floyd? I don't think so, and neither does his brother, who said this doesn't honor his memory, and it does not.
No,
it does not provide any source of justice. And, you know, everybody, the entire country, there's not a single person who disagrees that what this rogue cop, one out of 800,000 good police officers in this country, did was wrong. There's no one who disagrees.
Yeah.
And therefore, what happened is this incident was hijacked.
Absolutely.
Hijacked by far-left organizations.
I use that term every time. You're right. Even the Black Lives Matter started as a, quote, peaceful thing, and then it got hijacked as well. James, as always, I appreciate you joining us. And I know you'll stay safe out there, and hopefully we will begin to see less violence. I do appreciate your time.
Well, I've been screaming at him, please, practice social distancing now.
Thanks,
but
James.
But they won't do it.
But they won't cover their face to conceal their identity. Thanks, James Herson from L.A. Thanks very much. Yeah, we pointed that out the other day. They don't mind wearing the mask now because it helps conceal their identity. They're not totally dumb. You ever see the movie Glory? You know what it's about? Phenomenal movie, and it's a phenomenal part of our history, dealing with the Civil War. I think a lot of the protesters aren't aware of that, because when you hear what they did, you're thinking, well, I thought you were for black rights and supporting, well, we'll get into that when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In 1989, a movie came out with a one-word title, Glory. And in that movie, you had Denzel Washington portraying one of the characters, ended up getting an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. It's the story of the 54th Regiment Memorial. I should say the 54th Regiment that actually was in the Civil War. There's a statue in honor of those soldiers who fought in that 54th Regiment, unveiled 137 years ago. It depicts a pioneering group of black soldiers marching into battle during the Civil War as the 54th Regiment Memorial, for the first time, had African Americans fighting in the Civil War for the North. And there's a statue, as I said, that was dedicated and unveiled 137 years ago in honoring what they did. It literally commemorates black lives dedicated and those that were sacrificed to the struggle against slavery. It is a Civil War memorial. A Civil War memorial. And there's been such a rush to tear down and vandalize anything about the Civil War because slavery was involved. I've told you repeatedly, that is a part of our history. It's not a pretty part of our history, but it is history. And where the statues were raised in honor of the generals of the South or whatever, they're torn down, defaced or whatever. Yes, times have changed, but history hasn't changed. And this memorial in Boston, honoring those troops as they were with Robert Gould Shaw, going down Beacon Street past the State House, May 28, 1863, leaving Boston on their way to South Carolina. The statue shows Shaw erect on his horse, the men marching beside. It is a powerful, powerful movie. And all of these black soldiers were led by a white officer who didn't really want the job to begin with and then began to realize these men are willing to fight and I'm going to lead them. I'm not going to tell you what ended up happening to the 54th Regiment from Massachusetts. But I will tell you what happened to the memorial. The memorial, again, that literally commemorates black lives dedicated, sacrificed to the struggle against slavery, was targeted by vandals during some of the protest march as a tribute to George Floyd, the African-American man killed by police in Minneapolis. Vandals, black, white, it makes no real difference. They're there supposedly to have a peaceful protest demanding racial justice, and yet they turn destructive. And they began to deface this memorial. I wonder if they even knew the history of it. And if they knew the history, did they still think it was okay to deface it, do what they could to destroy it? Something erected, reference to Civil War, maybe that was what suddenly triggered them. Oh, it's Civil War, we got to do something. And yet it was honoring young black men who went to war with the North against the South. Maybe they were not aware of that part of their history. All they knew was the Civil War was bad. It was bad. But it was a shaping part of our nation. And so many things can, yes, be traced back to slavery in this nation. So many things can also be traced back to the Civil War and the results of the Civil War. But if they're not teaching or learning history, it's all lost. And I could not, when I saw this story, I could not believe that they would attack this monument. They want to talk about racial equality and holding it up, and that it supposedly is to also to honor the death of George Floyd with their protest. And some of them thought it would be great to deface that memorial. I'm not blaming all the protesters that took part in anything in Boston. Yet, ironically, the protesters would blame every cop for what happened with George Floyd. I just wonder if there were some in that crowd, as it was being defaced, did not have the wisdom, understanding, or the courage to stand up and say, "Don't touch that." And maybe school the vandals on what they were doing. You can't blame every officer for what happened in Minneapolis or any of the other cases where police officers had gone overboard. And you can't blame every peaceful protester for what we're seeing. Isn't that where we should come together? Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.